Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. My name is Dave Cole, along with social media guru Scott Winteroff. And Scott, welcome aboard.
All right, Dave. Good to be back for another episode this week. And I thought we'd be good to talk a little bit about research, right? Is that kind of the topic we're going to talk about today?
Yes, most definitely. And it's what I'm calling market research methods. And this is a little bit about kind of how to keep your own information, your own statistics. Obviously, you're as an agent or broker or investor or combination thereof, you're probably bombarded with statistics about the market, and that's a good thing that this percentage of this, this percentage of that. But what a lot of agents and investors and people in the business overlook is that there are a lot of important statistics that are not readily available. And so the more information you have that is helpful that your competitors do not, the better off that you are. So, and I've gone into a lot of detail on this in some of my workshops and presentations, and had the suggestion to talk a little bit about this here. And part of it is the keep track of everything approach that I take, and especially when you have, when you're working a farm area or a particular community or city or suburb or even complex or development, to keep as much as you can, especially what you do not already have. And as far as how or where to do this, and I know for someone, Scott, yourself, or the more technical savvy agents are going to go, oh, come on, Dave. But even something like an Excel spreadsheet can be very handy toward research, because you have the ability to put in four different fields. It could be the address, the community of a property, the price range, the name of the agent, number of days it was on the market before it sold, when it sold. And then you can actually do that and then look up by the different fields. So you could see, do look up of, you know, 100 properties within your zip code and see how long each one took to sell. So if you've got a, possibly getting a listing or working on a three-bedroom, two-bath ranch home on the west side in a certain zip code, now if you do this and keep track of it over months and eventually years, now you've got some valuable information as to what the trend might be. Not with the Realty Association or your boss or your office or something that's out there and everybody else knows, but you should be able to pull things that you can use. Or you could even tell a client on a listing presentation, here's a home at this address that had this similar to yours. Here's this, here's that, and here's what happened with them. Or maybe you even get into like what I call super detail. And these are the kinds of things that I've done for clients is, You can keep track, and even whether it's Excel or whatever software that you're comfortable in using where you can do this. But it could even be things like as you're working with your own listings or what you find out about others, that it could be when the exterior's been painted, has it been a factor in the sale of the home in a certain area, or recovering from a storm, or maybe they're in a, unfortunately, a flood zone, or there's been a lot of snow in the winter, whatever factors that are specific to your market, to be able to keep track of these things. And just anything you can do to get that edge that could get you the listing or get you the sale, you would want to do. Now, I've even gone as close and kind of getting into the topic, and this is just for the sake of ideas. And Scott, I know you've got some thoughts coming up, but I actually work with an agent that was so sharp as far as when to take the updated pictures, because something else that we've talked about in other editions and isn't quite for this, but things like keep updating your pictures to keep it fresh. So if there was just a rain or a snow, maybe you could show it with a little bit of moisture, but then a couple days later when that melts or dries up or whatever, then put in another photo so that it looks very recent. So I had an agent that happened to notice that the house next door was cutting their lawn or having their lawn mowed like every 2 weeks or longer than most. And he noticed that it was whatever, like every other Tuesday, or he, from keeping track of things like that, noticed that, let's just say, it was every other Tuesday that they would keep their lawn. So what he did was took a picture of that house on the second Monday, the day before, and after 2 weeks, you could tell that lawn needed mowing. And so what he did was he used that to show in his listing presentation that, you know, here's this house down the block, and here's what we're going to do. We can't have this with our lawn. We need to have this mowed, or things with landscaping. And just from driving around the neighborhood and looking and keeping track of which homes are well-groomed to make sure to alert his, in that case, seller, that these are things that you need to be aware of. Or even just on that point with the lawn, as I understand that he was on that weekend before the second week, that he actually drove potential buyers, or an agent drove potential buyers by, to say, see how much better this house is kept up compared to that one down the corner or down the block, which was also a three-bedroom home or whatever the case might be. So again, that's not something you're going to look up in the MLS or see online or get from the realtor. The association, and that's kind of a harebrained example, but it's just to get, you know, you in the audience thinking to start looking for those things. What's wrong with another property? Or even on the other hand, it's not to point out mistakes, but it's what right, what is right. You may notice, man, they must mow that lawn every day, or they're out there trimming the hedges, or whatever the case might be in your area. And so that's something that now you can say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, these are things you need to do, because that house down the street, this is what they do, and their marketing, or their the value of their home, the sale price, whatever it may happen to be, is where you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I can't help but think of my favorite movies, right? The James Bond movies, right? With this stuff. It's like you've got your agents, literally agents out in the field checking this stuff and seeing what's going on, keeping track of what's going on in the field, if you will. And then you sort of have like your Q branch, or like your data, your back end people, like kind of recording the data and keeping track of things. And I think that if you were to think of your marketing team or your marketing person as your Q branch, they're the ones who are helping put this data together and turning it into stuff that you can use to help sell to prospects. And if anything, prep you to get out and be able to sell it the right way with the right equipment and the right data to do that. So very interesting stuff. I mean, that's some really minute details that I don't think a lot of people think of. You know, I would think, I see a lot of pictures on the MLS and the photos are just terrible. I think that half the time just some better photos would help sell this property, you know, but little details like that definitely can help you keep a competitive edge and really amp up your game for marketing yourself, not only on offline or with your clients and with the traditional real estate stuff, but also with content marketing, with social media marketing, and being able to sort of really take those statistics, maybe not when they trim their grass, but ultimately street statistics and stuff like that, or particular blocks or particular neighborhoods, and use that data to create social media content, use that data to create blog content that basically, when people are searching for stuff related to a particular really high impact area, maybe it's a particular condo building, a large condo building, or maybe it's a particular neighborhood, like a micro neighborhood, like a North Center in Chicago, which is a really popular hot neighborhood right now. If you can kind of show that you own that neighborhood with these really specific statistics that only you have, only your office has, or only you have, is you the agent, then that's going to help amplify your brand and really help, really help grow your authority within your space, which is stuff, definitely something as marketers, we help people do, right? So yeah, good stuff.
Right, and the photo part of it, and that could be a whole separate edition, because yes, we talk about updating your photos, but it could be with these things in mind. And I think that's part of the point also, to be able to come up with new information, because just as, and I know you and I both preach, update those photos just for these reasons, because you do see photos with cars in the driveway, or weather that hasn't been, you know, You'll find stuff in late May with pictures with still snow on the ground, or the trees haven't bloomed yet, or just things like that, whatever time of the year. I've even like made bets with people for how long do you think it will take me anywhere in the country or in certain markets to find something like that where the photo is somehow outdated. And a couple of things happen with that. Usually when you see an outdated photo, you look at number of days on the market and it's going to be at least 90. Because yeah. It shows, and to me, as a potential buyer or looking at the property for a reason other than marketing, it says, hey, that agent is careless. They're not into it. They're not even updating the photo. But along those lines, and the reason I mentioned that point is you can update and should be updating the property description. Yeah, it may take an effort to go into the MLS or whatever and do that, but that's as an important part of your marketing to have something like that up to date. I know I've told this story on another podcast, but it fits in right now that there was an agent I was doing some work for, and doing what I preach, I was keeping track of other similar properties in the area. And I came up with a client, an agent, a lady that I was the one that told her, because another property in that same area, similar in terms of bedrooms and bathrooms and some of the features, sold. And so I had a client that I told, because that was my role to come up with this research, that her property was now almost was something like $8,000 to $10,000 lower than the other properties with that number of bedrooms and features in that area. And she was not aware of it because another property had just sold, and I found that out. And the point was that guess what was in her ad description hours later? Lowest price by $8,000 of this features in that community. She put it right in there. So just as we're preaching, update those photos, update that content as you come up with that information. And now the next point on this is going to sound a bit contradictory, but if you're going to use that information, you're putting it in your description, but more so, and Scott, I know you mentioned in terms of search engine and being able to, for people to be able to find you, most of this that I'm talking about is actually not for that purpose. Now you may post it in a description if it's something that would help a potential buyer that's anywhere out there, but these are things that I wouldn't say want to keep to yourself, but this is more for client or potential client interaction, or you're talking to another agent about the property and you say, 43% of the people that did this didn't buy, or whatever the case might be, and then make them say, oh, where'd you come up with that? Oh, I track. And right there, that's not only helping sell the property, that's helping you to brand yourself because you have this information by letting your potential clients, buyers, sellers, and other agents know that this is what you were doing. You're doing it in a way that you're not bragging, you're not directly branding, but they're going to say, wow, I talked to another agent about another property down the block and didn't get half of this information. I'm going to keep track of this person. So that is definitely a part of this, and that is one of the things I talk about, again, getting back to whether it's an Excel spreadsheet, index cards, some fancy software that you've got that does everything. It's not really a CRM because you're not contacting people out of it, but whatever way you want to use for tracking anything and everything about a property in the area you're working, whether it's for sale, hasn't been sold in 50 years, gets sold every month, is sitting there abandoned, whatever the case might be, keep track of everything you can that can give you that edge. Another thing that along those lines that I suggest is, and even, the MLS, but even realtor.com helps with this, keep track of sold properties, number of days on the market before it did, number of price reductions. So yeah, it's the time for either you, if you're going to take the time, your assistant, hey, your marketing person, hint, hint, somebody to keep track of all these things so that you can know that. If you're seeing this trend where it's taking major price reductions to get properties sold in a certain area, you keep that in mind for your listing. This may be a way too, as I don't have to tell anybody, any of the agents in the audience that, you know, people think their properties are worth often a lot more than they really are. This may be a way to show that, to come in with these kinds of statistics that you have that that people cannot look up elsewhere. So it's a little bit of different avenue. And just as an example of the keep it to yourself, and again, using the Chicago area as an example, we had a group of the RE/MAX offices in the Chicago area, and this was a few years ago, put out a study showing that they did a survey of sales prices within, I believe it was 1 mile, but don't hold me to that. It was within a specific distance of the commuter train stations in the Chicago suburbs, showing that throughout the entire Chicago market, these homes within whatever the specific proximity was of those train stations all had a higher property value, or all sold for more, or were valued more than similar houses outside of that radius because of the ability for people to maybe walk or be close to the train station and have an easier commute. Now, that was some great information, but my point in bringing it up in this episode, Scott, is that I don't work for RE/MAX. I'm not an agent. And yes, as a, I do happen to be a homeowner where I do walk to that train, and that is a part of the appeal. And RE/MAX, by putting that out, wants people like me to think, wow, RE/MAX is onto something here, and to keep them in mind. However, my point for the sake of this edition is they gave out all that information, and I know it. And if I know it, other agents and other real estate offices know that. And to me, RE/MAX lost their advantage of putting that out by giving it to other agents and other real estate offices who I talked to about that. I would, you know, in the few days surrounding that, be asking agents from other office and clients of mine, hey, did you see that about RE/MAX? Some of them did, or the study that they did, some did not. But the point was, every other office and every other agent in town was then able to use that. Had the agents that commissioned that study or had somebody been keeping track of it, and the only people that knew were people that they were going to work with, now it becomes a huge advantage to them. But that information still, Scott, was something that was found out by them tracking and going in and doing research that is not out there.
Yeah, I think that what's interesting, though, is that RE/MAX is an organization that they, yes, they put that data out there. And I think that data is, you know, it's helpful twofold. One, now, obviously, we're talking about them, so they're still getting some publicity value out of that data research that they published how many years ago now, right? But on the second level, to me, that's data that's not that, yeah, I mean, you know, in some ways, like, it's good information, but, like, I mean, yeah, to me, just as an observer, casual observer, that the real estate by popular train stations and other commuter stuff is always usually a little bit higher than normal, and it's good, and it's good stuff, and it's a good thing that they put out, and it's maybe it's not as trivial than is when I'm putting it to it, but if you think an organization like RE/MAX is doing research for that type of stuff, they're probably doing research for a lot more than just that, right? And some of it they put out, some of it they don't, right? So the stuff that they don't put out is either A, not good, or B, they're only using it to what you're saying, Dave. They're giving it to their agents, they're giving it to their army, if you will, to use that data specifically for their transactions. So definitely something that when you work with a good marketing team, no plug intended here, but when you work with a good marketing team, you can have that data for your disposal and help amplify you and grow your authority within your farm area. So yeah, what do you think?
Right. No, exactly. And that's true. And again, I was just using that as an example of, you know, putting out these statistics that you as an agent or investor in doing your research, that you want to have the information for whoever it may be that others don't. So then it's, where did you get that information? Oh, I do my own research. I've been keeping track for, and as time goes on and you're keeping track of things for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and going back with all the information that's out there on the internet that you can look up pretty much any property and see when it was last sold, you could really focus in on a specific block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is stuff that goes well beyond just using it to for selling to clients and selling to prospects. I mean, that's definitely a great angle and definitely a good thing, but having original data and original research is something that you can use like RE/MAX and use it to help build publicity for your brand, help build content online. This original research is what people see, not just your users, but the media. You know, if you can kind of create a specific report and really focus on branding your business's brand on that report, then, for example, like a Crane Chicago Business or one of these other media platforms might pick it up, or you could advance it to them, right? Advance the data to them, and they'll run it, of course, with your office name or your agent name with it, and that would be huge publicity value. Well worth the investment you maybe made to hire someone to do that collective research for you. So no matter what, research is always a good thing. You just have to, you know, figure out how, what, when, and why, right?
Right. And it's not always statistics and percentages. It could be observation. And as another example, which I was telling you, Scott, just before we started recording, but as an example, earlier today, I happened to go to one of those electronics and paper recycling events in my neighborhood, and for actually people within the region, within certain communities that are able to go and do this. And so, yeah, it was busy, and there's often lines for a few minutes while, you know, each car goes through and the crew takes out whether it's the paper or the electronics. But while sitting there, I'm seeing things like fluorescent lights from people's either basements, garage, or offices being taken, and, you know, large old electronic equipment, some of it that's small, but even still, it's things like that are for recycling or you don't just throw out in the garbage, and even things like paint cans, or there are several things in that category that go to these events. And I'm thinking, you know, if I was an agent, and I even did kind of take notice of things to let some of my clients in that area know, is these are things to suggest. So you as an agent, you're coming in and you go, you know, hopefully there's a recycling event. It'd be good to get rid of, you know, these large lights, or if you've got paint cans, or just things that, you know, you want the sellers to do to make the house more presentable, or even the builder, or that type of thing, that, you know, these are things to be recycled. And mention that, you know, hey, let me help you find, or even find and let people know there's the next recycling event. And in fact, I even found out about this particular event because I searched for it. We did have a need to get rid of some things personally. And it's, you know what? Now I'm going to start alerting some of my clients and looking for some of these events, because that's a very helpful thing to alert. It's a little bit off our topic, but yet it's along the same lines. To show that you were doing research, you were looking things in the area, and not just doing what you were told or what's easily given to you. It's that something else, along with research, with observation. Again, it does not have to be all statistics, but something that can give you that edge.
Yeah, actually, I mean, one of the newsletters I do for one of my agent clients or office clients is that we do a weekly update on local events, right? So what's going on in the community, and it could be anything from a recycling event to a concert at the United Center or whatever, something that might be of interest to the people who are in their farm area, whether they're community events at the high school to large festivals and stuff outside of the region that might just be fun for people to do. So it's research. It takes a little bit of time. It takes a couple Google searches to find some good stuff each week, but it provides value to our followers, and that's what helps keep our open rates up, right? So open rates is in the email, so people actually open the email. They may not open the email because of the listings that are in there, but they may open the email because of the events, and if they open the email to see the events, they might happen to browse over a listing that might draw their interest and hopefully get them to contact our team, right? So yeah, it's a little kind of inside of our strategy, but research, but not quite research, you know. So yeah.
Right. It's observation. And of course, again, Scott, that you're pointing out ways that this can be used in communication with current and potential clients. And I'm pointing out that, or as far as, you know, social media and things, and I'm pointing out that there are advantages you can use just in interaction. So it's almost like we have the two different avenues that you can use for the research, the data, the observation, the trends, anything that you can spot to get that edge. So there's actually a couple of more points, and I think we will pick up on this on a future edition. And also, as is often the case when we do kind of put out some ideas, you are welcome to send us, let us know anything. We don't necessarily need these statistics, but something that you've observed, something that could help something in other cities. Because one of the things that I didn't get a chance to expand on is to be even looking around at listings and some trends in other cities, maybe with a similar climate or other areas where there's waterfront properties or whatever your specialty may happen to be, because nobody's going to know that you quote unquote borrowed a strategy or a trend from somebody 300 miles away. They're not going to be looking in both places. So that's one of the things we can pick up on the future. But that is all she wrote for now. And again, let us know if you've had that experience. Maybe someone's done that to you. You've done that for someone. And I'm sure we'll be getting back to this topic in the future. So, Scott, thank you very much for your input. And that will do it for this edition. Keep researching.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to visit our website at davecole.com for more episodes with actionable strategies and to subscribe to future episodes. Please consider leaving a 5-star review and sharing this podcast with someone who would benefit from this content. Thank you, and see you next episode.